Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning. Good President's Day to one and all. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We've got Mike and Dan across the way. Jacob with your updates as we take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. Hour number one, spent most of it on football. The news around Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid settling their dispute. Through the CBA, through the Players Association, with the National Football League, and that deal certainly is under lock and key, and it is sealed, so we don't know the particulars of exactly how the settlement did work out, and none of those details will come out. A little AAF update. We continue the football vibe, Taz, because Antonio Brown did a little Q&A, right, with some fans. Over the way, which
I do it on Twitter, right?
Why not? I mean, why not if you're Antonio Brown, right? Do a little Q&A, keep your name out there, keep grabbing those headlines. In which he answered one question, and he said basically Ben Roethlisberger. He said he compared him to ownership. Correct?
Which I don't think you need to do that, dude. First off, you don't want to have sour grapes when you're exiting out. You know what I mean? Especially the guy that you made a lot of money with, made a lot of catches. You know, the guy was throwing you the ball. You know, you made him look good. He made you look good. You don't want to do this. That's just a bad look. And you don't want to go on Twitter and do a Q&A. That's the other thing. That's not a good move.
Nope.
Trust me. You don't want to do that. Okay? You don't, because this is what happens. Then TV shows and radio shows pick it up, and next thing you know, you look like a little crybaby. You know, and you look like you got sour grapes. And that's how, to me, Antonio Brown looks here. He does. He looks bad here. And he basically saying, paraphrasing, that Roethlisberger kind of talked down to the other guys on the team and acted like he was a big boss. Well, he's Big Ben. He's the star QB. He's the guy that he's the gasoline in that car for a long time. So he's earned that, as has Antonio Brown. When those guys are teammates, and Lev Bell, those guys were the stars of the team when they were together, and they all could have an ego on that team. They all could have that attitude. I personally have no problem with it. So for Antonio Brown to say that when he leaves, or as he's exiting, because he's technically he's still on the team, right? I mean, technically, he's still there.
Yeah.
You know, so
well, he's
like,
under contract. Yeah.
He's on the roster. So it's like, you know, but this guy just can't stop chirping. Stop, bro. You're a great player. You're going to get signed, make a lot of money. Shut up.
Well, he's going to get traded. He's already under contract, so it's not a matter of him signing anywhere. I get what you mean. I mean, that's the point being is that the Steelers have already paid him, and he's still gone out there, and he's chirped. Now, he did say that Roethlisberger, there's no issue between the two of them. He said that Roethlisberger does, quote-unquote, have an owner mentality. Teammates cannot call him out as they risk losing their, quote-unquote, meal ticket. But said that the two of them are just A-OK. Listen, for Antonio Brown, though, does it not work for him? I mean, because he's basically trying – he looks at it as a scorched earth mentality at this stage, Taz. For him, I agree with you. It's frustrating. I don't feel like he's reading about Antonio Brown having a Q&A – you know, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on February the 16th. Don't disagree with any of that. However, for him, I mean, it's just another nail in the coffin of his relationship with the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. Isn't he doing it? He clearly wants out. He clearly has no interest in resolving any sort of conflict or making nice with the Steelers. So for him, doesn't it help his cause by just emphasizing and getting him the hell out of Pittsburgh by any means necessary?
Yeah, but I don't think it's not. Yeah, I guess.
You don't have to do it.
You don't have to do this.
But for him, why even open up the possibility of the Steelers holding on to him? I mean, he's basically taking the road of, he's going to destroy and rip every relationship out there that he has and be critical of everyone in Pittsburgh to the point where they are left with no other choice. They've got to trade him.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
And it also hurts his trade value.
I don't think that's why he did this. Now, you're right. Everything you said, I'm not arguing you. I'm not disagreeing with you. But I don't think that's why he did this. I think he did this because he was born on a Sunday and he wanted to get his ass kissed by people on Twitter. Or just ignite something on Twitter, just to get buzz. That's why he did it. I don't think it was like, well, let me do this. Let me rip Ben because then, you know, the Steelers will definitely want me out. This will be, like to your point, the nail in the coffin. I think that ship has sailed with the Steelers. I think they know he's a massive headache. And as you say a lot, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. You know, so and I do think that's what they feel. I think this guy was bored on a Sunday. And he knows it's a slow, that most people aren't, they don't care or watching the NBA All-Star festivities. So he was bored. And that's why he did this. That's why, because he wants to engage with people so he can get some hate and he can get some love. He just wants that engagement. He enjoys it. And he's very active on social media, and I think that's why he did this.
Well, I mean, both can be true. I mean, so he can do it with a purpose, and he can do it to gain interest. So both of those, you know, sentiments that you and I have here on this Monday morning can be true. And I think for Antonio Brown, I mean, I think it works. I mean, he mentioned that it's not for the money. It's for the love of the sport, the commitment to win relentlessly, consistently, passionately. Plus, I made $70 million. It's public record. Not to be cocky, just the truth. Time to play for my own team, AB84, the family. Was asked the question, who would be those teams that you would like to play for? Best interest, this by be my first meeting with Mr. Rooney ever as Antonio Brown, the man, not AB84, the player in locker. I never been to my house, their house, like what I am, like what AM I really doing, less than what you bargained for, more than the real truth. I don't know what that means, but that was a response Antonio Brown gave Mike Morzelli via Twitter. That was asked the question, is there any chance that you stay with the Steelers, or is that chance gone? Love Steelers Nation, everything to my heart, no more.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's just...
He's doing it, so...
We've seen this. We've seen people...
I think there's a method to the madness here for Antonio Brown.
No, there is, but no, you've seen this. We saw here just on Twitter. I mean, our own Mikey B does an Ask MB on Twitter, right? And we have all the personalities in radio that do stuff like this on Twitter. Fire away, ask your questions. Mikey, am I right?
Well, I do it as a complete satire and joke. I know. If anybody's asking me sports questions, they're out of their mind.
NBA fan? That's please. You know your stuff. No, but my point is people do this on social media all the time. You know, we see it. It's close to home. And I'm not just talking Mikey B. So, you know, people do this.
Oh, no, I get that.
I get that.
No, you're right. He did not invent it. People have done it. I agree with you. And people in our medium have done it as well in radio. When I've got 10 minutes, fire away any kind of question. Out of bounds or whatever however you want to describe it. Yeah, that's fine. You can do it. But for Antonio Brown, he does it to keep his name out there, but he also does it, I think, to basically, end any kind of speculation about him potentially going back to Pittsburgh and playing for the Steelers. I mean, he is destroying it all.
Oh, he is. And you know, Liz, man, it's like, it's a shame because the player that he was for that organization and for that real loyal fan base, football fan base, in the Steel City is unbelievable. Like, really, he was unbelievable for them, like unbelievable. And it just, to me, this kind of like puts a little blemish on your legacy there, the way you're exiting. You got to leave and take the high road, man. That's an old school thing, and it works. I don't care if you're an athlete or if you're leaving a job, a workforce. You can't burn bridges. What goes around comes around. You can't, because you're on top of the world right now making tons of money. Don't mean that you got to, burn bridges. It's a bad way to go. Anywhere I've left, when I've left wrestling companies, I'm proud to say I've left on my terms. But I've always took the high road. I've always took, even at a place that was bouncing checks on me, I took the high road and then did a podcast and talked about my side of it without burying them. I believe in that. I believe you can't do that. That's just bad karma. When you spit fire out to the world, you got to be careful because then fire comes back at you. You know, that's like me. I try to spit you know, simple, beautiful air out to the world, as you know, Moose. You
right,
understand
yeah,
very well.
I think for Brown, I don't think he cares.
I don't think he cares.
I mean, honestly, I don't think he cares about taking the high road. I think he likes it. He's made himself a lot of money. He openly talked about the fact he's made $70 million. He knows that more money is coming his way.
That's a hell of a time.
He feels completely bothered and disrespected by the Steelers, this idea that he quit on the team. He referenced that as well. He said, you know, in essence, I mean, I guess he can defend himself by saying his agent called Tomlin the morning of the game, that final regular season game against the Bengals, and say that he was willing to play. And Tomlin said, we've passed that already, after Antonio Brown wouldn't answer tweet or text from messages from the Steelers head coach. I mean, it just, I mean, for Brown, I don't disagree with you. I think he's ruining all the good that he did in Pittsburgh, and certainly ticking off that Steeler fan base, Taz. But for him, he doesn't care. I mean, you know, he's looking on to the next adventure for him. He's looking on to the next team. He wants to go play someplace else. He doesn't want to be putting on the black and gold of the Steelers any longer. He wants to just find his team, his squad, a new organization, and he wants to make sure that he buries everybody in the past. I mean, that's it. And leave no stone unturned.
Yeah,
I mean, because he can't tell me everything's good with him and Roethlisberger, but then said he's got an owner's mentality.
That's the thing.
And that people are afraid to speak up because they don't want to, quote-unquote, rip their meal ticket. I mean, how exactly would everything be all good after making those kind of comments?
Well, correct. He's talking on both sides. He's talking on both sides of his mouth.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, and he's doing it for public consumption on Twitter. I mean, I don't understand this. Like, what? You know, is he that bored? Does he need that much attention?
Yes.
You're right, he does. Yes. Correct. Yes. No doubt. Yes.
Answer all that is yes.
Yes and yes. Yes.
No doubt. He is that bored.
True.
Yes, he needs all that attention.
Like, dude,
yes.
Really? Like, it's
all
crazy.
Over the place, right. And there was a report out of Pittsburgh over the weekend that there are some teams the Steelers will not trade Brown to. Bengals, Browns, Patriots.
Yeah.
And I think the Ravens were another team as well. So they're not going to trade, obviously, Antonio Brown within the division.
Well, that's good to hear.
And the New England Patriots are another team that they have no interest in trading Antonio Brown to. The other teams that are interested that have been reportedly the Cardinals, the Packers, the 49ers, obviously, the Miami Dolphins, and the Oakland Raiders.
Trade them to the Bills. I'll be a happy camper.
I love football.
The locker room might not be, but he'll be good for a year as far as his temperament. And then after that, he's going to be a nightmare, no matter where he goes. He will be on best behavior, Moose, for a year.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Trust me. After that, he is going to be hell on wheels. He is going to be annoying as annoying can be. I tell you that right now. I'm just glad he's not going to the Patriots.
Go Pats!
That, to me, is a beautiful thing.
Never say never.
They wouldn't do that, dude.
I don't think
they wouldn't do that.
I know. I don't think they would, but you never say never. Some teams do stupid things. You never know.
Lev Bell's been quiet, right? I've missed something.
Well, don't worry. He'll come. He'll pop.
No, but he's been really quiet.
Free agency, what's going here?
I didn't miss anything, right? I mean, he's been quiet.
No, it's been all quiet with Le'Veon Bell.
Surprise.
Yes. It's been all about Antonio Brown. Yeah. Then the other big speculation around another wide receiver has been about the Giants and Odell Beckham Jr. After the tweets, I believe it was Jay Glazer was asked a question, give me a bold statement for the offseason with his work for The Athletic, and he said that he thinks the Giants will trade Odell Beckham Jr. this offseason. And Odell responded via social media with some emojis. I think it just comes part and parcel. Every couple months, the speculation about Odell Beckham Jr.'s future with the Giants have got to rear its ugly head. I mean, I think that comes along with it. I do believe their general manager, when he said we didn't sign him to trade him, they just signed him before last year, Taz. He's got some questions to answer. Certainly, the Giants have not been a winning situation for five of the last 6 years. There's no doubt about that. But I have a hard time envisioning the Giants trading Odell Beckham Jr.
I do, too. And the Giant fan base would be miserable. Oh,
I don't know. I think some are tired of Beckham.
I don't know.
There are a lot of people that are tired of Beckham.
Mike, you're a big Giant fan. You don't want him gone, do you?
I think it's split. And for the right deal, I'm 100% on board with a trade.
For the right deal.
I didn't have that mindset last year. But get assets. They are so depleted everywhere. Get some players.
Right. Well, I mean, I hear you. But I don't think you want this guy gone, in my opinion. I mean, between him and Antonio Brown, they're the two, unless I'm missing somebody, probably the two best receivers that, you know, star
Julio.
Yeah, but I'd rather one of these guys. I'd rather Beckham than all of them. Because he was a headache. He seems like he'd matured more. Antonio Brown, as he's getting older, he's becoming more of a headache. It's just crazy. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't think the Giants will trade him. I think he's going to be a Giant.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to, but I think when you look at how depleted is the playoff, the point that Bisseglia made, I think how depleted they are, I think you kick the tires on anything. I don't think they're going to trade him. I do believe Gettleman. But I don't think Glazer's throwing it out there because he hasn't heard anything about it. I mean, so he's not just trying to get clickbait, so to speak, in today's day and age. He's not, he's had a good reputation. He's got great connections.
I know.
I'm not saying that it'll happen.
These guys try to get
I'm not saying it'll happen, but he would not throw something out there for the sake of just throwing something out there.
Yeah,
unless he's heard some stuff that maybe the potential is that Beckham could get traded. I don't think the Giants would do it. I don't disagree with you there, but I don't think Glazer's just making something up.
Yeah, I take all these guys, these reporters, these insiders. I mean, I look at it a little bit different than you. I mean, I understand that they have contacts and sources. I get it. I'm just from a different world. Like I don't respect it. You know, just to have someone text you and call you with information, or you can have an anonymous source. You know, I don't get crazy with that stuff. I understand what they do. I understand what they do, and he's really good at his job, as is JLC that'll come on here in a little while with us. I mean, these guys are good at their jobs. I think that at times they can create a little more, add more smoke to maybe a little bit of smoke and make it bigger smoke with a little fire. They can do that because they have that credibility with the fan base. But you're right, Jay Glazer, and he has a very good reputation. I'm not saying he made it up, but I'm just saying it's the offseason. He might have heard a little teeny something and blew it up a little bit. You know, all these guys.
I was asked about a bold statement. Like I mentioned, I have the utmost respect for those guys and what they do. I think they're the guys that do it right and that are great at what they do. The sources that they have, the connections that they're able to make. And sometimes they could be wrong. You're not going to be 100% right in that business, especially when you're trying to find a story ahead of the curve. But I don't think it'll happen, but I also think it's probably something that he heard, and it was maybe a remote chance, but the fact that there's a slight chance, even after what Gettleman said, is kind of a story, because Gettleman made it perfectly clear that they're not trading him. And when Glazer comes out and says, if you're going to give me a bold statement that the Giants trade Odell Beckham Jr., because I think maybe the Giants have come to the realization, Taz, here, that they're not one big wide receiver away, that they're an offensive line. They need help along the defensive front. They need to get after the quarterback.
You need a quarterback.
Yeah, and they've got to find their quarterback of the future as well. The Giants have got a lot that's on their plate this offseason to get themselves back to some sort of playoff relevancy. But we're both in agreement. I think number 13 will be back with the Giants next year in 2019.
Yeah, me too. And just in closing, I feel like Odell Beckham is a guy that you build your offense around if you can. And it's a guy that defenses, he's a nightmare for coordinators. These DCs, they prepare for him, around him. You know, he gets the best cover guy on him for a good reason.
Yeah.
So it's my point in that is it's tough to get. I understand to get what Mike's saying. I get what you're saying. To get more resources and utilize him to get more players because you need players. I get it. Giving away your best guy. Arguably your best player besides your rookie quarterback.
He's got to stay healthy, though.
Yeah,
he's not been healthy the last 2 years.
You're right, he's got to stay healthy.
He's been banged up, he's been hurt, he's not played 16 games. So that's the other thing with Beckham. But two interesting storylines with two big wide receivers in the National Football League. Athletes having fun on the ice. One man is not happy about it. We'll get into that next. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's a holiday Monday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Listen to CBS Sports Radio with the Radio.com app. Free and available in the Google Play and iTunes App Store. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
I guess we upped the rejoin music. Wow.
Yeah, it is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning.
Yeah.
855-212-4227 is your number to call.
Is that a Moose production right there?
Yeah, I think it's one of my picks. Yeah, yeah. Has to be.
Moose don't play around.
Yes.
Moose don't play around.
Jacob, good morning, brother. How are you?
Turn your mic on.
That would be helpful. Turn my mic on. Hi, Moose. Hi, Tez.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Take it away, brother.
All right. It was a wild finish at the Great American Race when Denny Hamlin ended up winning his second Daytona 500 in 4 years. For Hamlin and Joe Gibbs Racing, the season's been dedicated to Gibbs' son, the late J.D. Gibbs, who passed away last month after battling a degenerative neurological disease, and Hamlin talks about what it means.
Special for me to be able to, you know, deliver that to him in a special way. I know he would have been happy with any one of his cars going out there and getting a victory, but obviously, one with his son's name on the door and number is probably a little more special.
And in fact, Joe Gibbs Racing swept the top three with Kyle Busch finishing in second, Eric Jones in third. Busch sharing the sentiment of the special day it was.
Couldn't be more thrilled for all the 500 people back at Joe Gibbs Racing that knew and respected and obviously looked up to JD for the person that he was and for the relationships that he gave all of us.
And the NBA All-Star Game, usual high-scoring affair last night. Team LeBron beating Team Giannis 178-164. Kevin Durant, the All-Star Game MVP with 31 points. The last All-Star Game for Dwayne Wade, and he's asked what he wants his off-the-court impact to be.
I'm a kid from the inner city of Chicago who, you know, as I talk about a lot, you know, who needed a lot of assistance and a lot of help to get where I am today. So I just try to do the same thing back to the community, back to others. I try to assist where I can. I try to be a voice for the ones that doesn't have a voice when I can. You know, so I just try to do my part, you know, in the communities that, you know, that I touch.
And so a nice sentiment there. And as the baseball hot stove season continues to move at a glacially slow pace, Mike Moustakas did sign with the Brewers, according to reports, 1 year, $10 million, mutual option for a second year. J.B. Holmes rallying past Justin Thomas to win the Genesis Open at Riviera. Back to you guys.
All right. Thank you, Jacob. Appreciate it. We were mentioning earlier on, going into break, Taz, Carolina Hurricanes, right?
Yeah.
As they've gotten better and better as this season has gone along. Well, they celebrate, right?
Yeah.
After their victories.
A lot.
After their wins.
The surge.
Right. They do a lot of different celebrations.
It's awesome, dude.
To enjoy the wins.
It really is. It's awesome.
Now, here is Don Cherry, legendary hockey analyst up in Canada on Canadian TV, Sportsnet. Up in Canada, a legend in terms of commenting on the NHL and just hockey in general. Here is Don Cherry with Ron McLean, a little upset by the way Carolina is handling their business.
All right, now listen. This is the National Hockey League. Brendan Moore is a good coach. He play. These guys, to me, are jerks. You have to do this in the National. They're still not drawn. This is to me, and I'll tell you one thing. They better not do this in the playoffs. What I don't understand is Brendan Moore is a street shooter. He always was. This is a joke. The rest of the guys, young men expressing themselves for joy of winning. They don't do this thing in the net. It's professional hockey. One of these guys are jerks or something. And I'll tell you one thing. They do this in the playoffs, making fun of the other team.
But nobody's out on the ice. The game's over. I admit, I always liked your theory of when you celebrate when you win only. That's why you liked Muhammad Ali, whereas Sugar Ray Leonard did this.
Before. Now, you don't. If you want to do it before. But that is absolutely ridiculous. I know the rest of the people. I know all the broadcasters and everything are afraid to say something like that. They're jerks doing it.
I kind of like it.
I know you. Well, you're lucky. The weatherman, you know what I mean? I know what I'm talking about. You never do anything like that. They're still not drawn. They're a bunch of jerks as far as I'm concerned. Imagine Justin Williams doing stuff like that. Ridiculous.
Seems a little odd. I got to give you that.
Well, I understand Don Cherry's legend. But he's got to be 70-something years old. He's up there in age. Whatever the case may be, you got to chill out, Mr. Cherry. You really got to. These guys are having fun. They're doing it after the game, okay? They're not putting it in nobody's face. And by the way, for those that don't realize, the Carolina Panthers, they embraced what Mr. Cherry said. How smart of them. What they did is now you could find on their store, the Carolina Panthers, the Bunch of Jerks shirt.
Yes.
That's right. They sell a t-shirt now, dude, embracing this. I think Cherry's out of line here with this. I don't know if he's just trying to get attention, what he's doing. You know, I know he's got the outlandish clothing all the time. I get it. He's been doing this for decades, and he's great at what he does. This, in my opinion, Moose, it's a little bit old, old man chatter here. Shut up.
Really, it is. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean,
these celebrations are great.
Yeah, I mean, they're fun. I mean, and he's not wrong. They're still not drawing down in Carolina. But they're trying to...
They got a young team, you know.
It's just a matter of... I mean, that's just a fact. So he's looking at a scenario where he's trying to protect the game and the sanctity of the game and sanctity of the game, I should say, and that how to act like a professional athlete. You're a paid professional athlete. This isn't peewee hockey. This isn't juniors. There's anything like that. You're not 12, 13, 14 years of age. You're talking about guys that are making a lot of money doing their job and... that this is not the way that you conduct yourself. But you know, I think it's fun. I mean, I think it's good great. For the National Hockey League. You try and separate yourself a little bit, try and create a little personality, generate a little bit of buzz, especially stateside, and I think it does work.
It does work, dude. And it's like the Golden Knights, right? It's like the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Their pregame, what they do before games is unbelievable. And it got so much attention from last year and the great run they had last year. Hockey needs to do this. Sports needs to do this. Make it fun. Make people enjoy it. So does Carolina faithful fan base. They're sitting there. Their team's sitting 31-22 right now, okay? So, yeah. Okay, yeah, sure. In the Metro Division, my Islanders are number one. But who's counting? But anyway, I digress. So the thing is, this is great. This is fun stuff.
Carolina's home.
Yeah, what's that?
At least Carolina has a home.
Oh, yeah. We're all over the place. Right. We're in Brooklyn. We're on the island. Yes. We're
going to play next week in Parsippany. Yeah. Let's listen a little bit of the play-by-play.
The limbo gimmick.
Yeah. Let's hear
it. Did the limbo.
Yes. Yeah. Jump it. Here's a limbo.
Oh, my God. It's a limbo. I feel like I'm in Honolulu.
That's great.
This place is going nuts, too.
Carolina's mascot is a pig. It's a luau. It's a luau, and everybody's doing the limbo.
That's awesome.
Well, that's right up there, one of the best.
It's tremendous,
yeah,
dude.
Sportsnet down in Carolina. They also did one where they mimicked a walk-off home run and a celebration.
They did.
They've done a lot down there in Carolina, and it's been fun. Really been fun.
Well, like Moose, I'm sure you don't have a problem with this, but like with the Vikings, right? The Minnesota Vikings, they do the skull chant, right? Before they do the horn. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you have a problem with that? I don't.
No.
Right? It's fun.
It's a little bit different before the game as compared to after the game. I think his whole thing is after you win, you're supposed to win with class and style, not do this.
But it's not 1971.
I don't disagree with you, but...
No, I know, I'm just making a statement.
Yeah, I mean, there is a difference between the two.
No, but the thing is, if they were doing this before the game, like, so I guess Don Cherry thinks before the Vegas Golden Knights game, they do a freaking Broadway show
but
on the ice.
But the players are not. That's different.
I know, but it's the overview of the team. You're dissecting details of what I'm saying. I'm saying Don Cherry having a problem with these guys celebrating after is a little ridiculous. Other teams do things. I'm just trying to think of different teams that do things prior to the game.
No, right, but
it's a Broadway show.
Right, but the point being is that there is a discernible difference. You do what Vegas does before the game, you're getting your crowd into it. You do what the Montreal Canadiens do before the game, it's getting your crowd into it. This is a matter of using the team as a prop. That's the point. That's the discernible difference. I think from the old school get off my lawn mentality from Don Cherry, it's a case of this is not how you win or act after a game following a victory in the National Hockey League. That's the point. You want to do skull chant, you want to get your team fired up, whatever it might be, to get your team into it, get your fans into it before a big game. That's different. What they do up in Seattle with the 12s. Everyone's got some sort of pregame ritual.
Fun.
Giants ringing the dopey bell at MetLife Stadium. I mean, everyone's got a little pregame difference in terms of that pregame celebration. Game time.
My Bills Mafia. They got their celebrations.
Yes, they do.
Tailgate Jones.
You're a classy bunch.
Let's go to Windsor, Ontario. Talk to Brady Moose. Hey, Brady, you're listening to Taz and the Moose. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Well, except we got about 4 inches of snow here. But
there you go.
Shocking.
Yeah, well, as far as I'm concerned, like, Don Cherry's 85. He was 85 February 5th like Henry Aaron. Now, Henry Aaron epitomizes class, but I don't know. Don Cherry epitomizes this get-off-my-lawn sort of old man sort of ethos. And I think he thinks this is still 1966 or whatever. But the thing about it is, that's why in America, you know, hockey's a fourth sport. I mean, it's like they're all stuck back in 50 and 60 years ago. Heck, I was 6 years old 60 years ago, and Cherry needs to go back to the old folks' home because the ratings on Hockey Night in Canada cratering.
Well, hold on, wait. Well, Brady, I got a problem you saying that us in America are like behind the times. Are you serious about that comment?
Well, not really, but the thing about it is that you don't particularly care that much about hockey.
I personally do, but I get your drift. The country, you're right. As far as sports, no, hockey's not the number one sport. No, I agree with you on that. Yeah,
but he epitomizes this sort of old school. And another thing about him, I remember when he coached the Mississauga Ice Dogs, he owned them years ago, and a lot of the other OHL teams had players from Eastern Europe on their team. He didn't want them because he was so ethnocentric. All he wanted was these, as he put them, good Canadian lads, and I think they won about 4 out of 80 games that year.
Very...
So that's what he's all about.
Well, he's very critical of the European player.
So I'm not surprised. Yeah, he's anti-European, and I'm not surprised that he has this idea because he has all these old-school ideas that are 50 years behind the times. Well, thanks for putting me on the air.
Hey, yeah, thanks, Brad. Appreciate that, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
Tom Brady's jumping in.
Yes. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. But he was back. I don't know what I'm sure his feelings have
changed. Is he 85 years old?
Yeah, he's up there in age. He's 85. He's great. I mean, he looks great for his age. But he was at one point in time very, very critical of labeling European players as soft, not being physical enough, especially when guys start getting drafted in the first round, in drafts. When, Alexei Kovalev was the first Russian-born player drafted in the first round by the Rangers. Going back to the 91, I think it was the 92 draft, which he was. But, yeah, very critical of European players. I think his perception of that has changed over the course of time. But he bought into that stereotype of European players for a long time.
I mean, to me, it's like I'm impressed at his age. He could still go on the air and broadcast. That's impressive. At 85 years old, it might be a point in time where you're like, all right, I think maybe we're done here with this guy. I mean, he's a legend. I know that. And the thing I got to say, and like you just said about with his thoughts on European players years back, he's always had a firm, strong opinion. He's very opinionated, hence his success, besides the outlandish clothing he wears, which is very funny. These suits he wears are nuts. But that's his gimmick, right? That's his thing. But, and he knows who he's talking about, too. He knows the game. But yet he is the comments about the Carolina Panthers are completely old school, like you said, get off my lawn mentality. It's very old school. These guys are having fun after the game. They're a young bunch of guys that are just having fun after some victories, and they're giving people their money's worth. People are having a good time at these games, after the win. And that's what it's about. They're giving people their money's worth.
Yeah, they are. They are. You have an issue with the Carolina Hurricanes and their post-game celebrations. Plus, we've got a Bryce Harper update. We'll get into that next. It's a holiday Monday morning. It's Taz and the Moose with you. 855-212-4227 on CBS Sports Radio.
We like you. You like us. So why not friend us on Facebook? The meetup happens at facebook.com/CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
All right, time right now to ask the pros. Where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So we're chatting about the Carolina Hurricanes and their post-game victory celebrations, Taz. And a couple other things from over the course of the weekend. Number one, I don't know if we have a deal between Bryce Harper and the Philadelphia Phillies. There was a report that he was going to make some sort of an announcement via The Athletic of where he was going to go. And the report was that it was going to be Philadelphia. A lot of people were reporting that, or that they were sourced out. A 10-year deal, in essence, around $310 million. We know that he's met with the San Francisco Giants. We know that the Nats offered him 10 years, $300 million toward the tail end of the regular season. Maybe he does end up in Philadelphia, but as pitchers and catchers have reported across the baseball landscape, whether it be Arizona and Florida, and they're ramping up spring training to get themselves ready for spring training games and inching closer and closer to the start of the MLB regular season as the warmer weather will hit the United States. Taz, we're sitting in a scenario here where Machado still hasn't signed, Harper has not signed anywhere, and even after all the reports over the weekend, still not a done deal between him and Philadelphia.
Yeah, and there's reports that the deal could be rounding third and heading home shortly.
Yes, as the cliche would say.
That's funny, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly. That he and his agent are using Boris, that is, using the Philadelphia Phillies to get more money someplace else and using the Phillies as leverage. Some people believe he used the Giants as leverage against the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies made it perfectly clear when the winter meetings took place, what was it, a couple months ago now, out in Las Vegas, Taz, that they had stupid money to spend, and they've spent some of that money, you know, bringing in Andrew McCutchen and the like, but they have not spent stupid money this offseason. And you've got guys out there like Kimbrel, Machado, and Bryce Harper, and especially Harper. And some have even speculated one doesn't want to sign before the other. I mean, that it's a battle between the two agents as well, kind of a machismo moment that neither wants to sign before the other because they want to make sure that even if they get $1 more, that they want to try and get $1 more than the other guy. Yeah, I mean, that's where we're at here.
Yeah, that exactly right. They're just trying
that's
to inch each other out.
When you think about it.
Over, you know, just it's just it's all about the money, man. It's that's the bottom line, right? You're looking at a 10-year deal, like you said, potentially over $300 million. Is insane. That's insane if that happens. As a Met fan, I hope it doesn't. That's a different story. No, but the thing is, it seems like this thing's amping up. There's more and more chatter about this now, and it's definitely escalated. People that cover this closely really, there's a lot of scuttlebutt that this could happen. We'll see. I got a feeling it's going to go down because it's definitely cranking up now.
Well, it is, and you would think now some have mentioned that they would not be surprised if it went on until March. But it seems that there's a lot of burn to this story that he is inching closer, Harper, that is, to ultimately making that decision. Surprised, as you and I have talked about before, that the decision was not made sooner than this. But we'll see when Harper, because it looks like there's a lot more heat to him than there is Manny Machado right now. Machado finally making a decision. At some point in time, you got to make a decision. At some point in time, you got to decide. You have a good idea of where all these teams are. It's not like all of a sudden some team's going to come swooping in and offer you $400 million. Right. I would imagine, maybe you could squeeze a couple more million out of a respective organization, but you have to have an idea of where you want to play baseball, do you not?
Yeah, I would think so. I think at this stage? I think at this stage it comes down to with the money. I'm not sure if it would be a couple of million. I think when you're getting in that $300 million range, I think it's more of how much is truly guaranteed. Like how much is truly...
Well, it's all guaranteed.
Well, like guaranteed, like straight up, like upfront money
all
type thing.
All baseball contracts are guaranteed.
No, I'm saying like upfront money type thing. Because these guys, like whatever you want to call them, signing bonuses, you're going to get upfront money too. Some deals have upfront money. So I don't know. You said something earlier that's very important though. Like that these guys are kind of, I'm paraphrasing your words, like waiting each other out, Machado and Harper.
Well, there have been some that have speculated, right?
And I kind of get that, you know, because like it's interesting. You want to be, you kind of maybe want to be signing second. So let's say Harper signs with the Phils. Okay, now Machado, now he's going to get a team now really that wants to kind of, they want to trump the Phillies. They want to, now we got our guy, and we okay. So he got 10-year deal, $300 million. So we're going to give Machado a 10-year deal for $350 million. Whatever. I'm just spitballing it out there. I'm just saying. So it might be why guys are waiting. Like Machado's waiting to go second. If that's the case here,
it could be that. And I get, I'm sure there are teams. If you know the Philadelphia Phillies, if Bryce Harper decided to sign with the San Francisco Giants, the Philadelphia Phillies would be more willing to offer Manny Machado more money. You've got things to also factor in here. You're getting late in the game, and if you're looking at $10 more million, I mean, if the reported deal over the weekend was true, and it's 10 for $310 from the Philadelphia Phillies, the Washington Nationals offer him $300 million at the end of the baseball regular season. So you're looking at an extra $1 million per year on average that Bryce Harper is going to leave the Nats for the Philadelphia Phillies. Maybe it's 310, maybe it's 320, maybe it's $330 million. I don't know where we're sitting at there, Taz, but that doesn't seem like an all that significant bump where you look at where he was with the Nats as compared to where he's going to be with the Phillies, but $10 million is still $10
million. Yeah. No, it's... That's a lot of shekels.
Yeah,
it's a lot of money, dude. That's just you can't fathom. And just over 10 years, I mean, it's and guaranteed. I mean, God bless him. I mean, Jesus, I mean, that's amazing. I mean, I'll tell you what, you gotta hit a lot of dingers for my team if I'm paying you $300 million. I mean, I'm talking about you gotta hit a home run every time you're up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You got to be, like, unbelievable. Like, really? Like.
Or be extremely marketable. Yeah, and you look at it, and the players getting the amount of money that they're getting. So we'll see where Harper and Machado do end up. And coming out of All-Star Weekend down in Charlotte for the NBA, as Team LeBron, we saw last night a rally from as many, I believe it was 20 points down at one point in time, to Team Giannis. Roll to a victory did Team LeBron, as Kevin Durant was an MVP of the All-Star game for a second time. The Greek Freak dropping 38 and was on track to be in the MVP of the game if his team was able to be victorious. They were not, but it's not necessarily about the game or the dunk or the three-point shootout. Congratulations to Net fans, as Joe Harris is your three-point shootout champion. But
love Joe Harris. That's Mikey's guy.
Yeah, it is, as Bisseglia is celebrating, yeah. Taz. But how about Anthony Davis, as he made the rounds and did play 5 minutes in the All-Star game, should never have played.
No.
After leaving the final game before the All-Star break down in New Orleans against the Thunder with that shoulder injury, should not have played 5 minutes last night for Team LeBron, but also making headlines to Anthony Davis that he'd be willing to go to any of the other 29 teams in the NBA. He just does not want to stay in New Orleans.
Right.
So did open it up. Said he would never go to Boston. We mentioned it last week with his dad being on record that he didn't want his son traded to the Boston Celtics after they had treated Isaiah Thomas the way that he did. But Anthony Davis made it perfectly clear over the weekend that he's open to be traded to anybody. It's not just the five that were four teams that were on that list.
I heard him say, this is what Anthony Davis said. I never said that I wouldn't go to Boston.
Right.
And he said it like three times. Now, you know, his dad was the one who put that out there. And, you know, I was speculating, maybe this, and I can't recall if you were speculating it also, but, you know, he's talking, maybe his dad was talking for him when his dad said, my kid ain't playing for Boston. And now, different story Jones here. You know, so now AD's like, well, no, I never said I wouldn't play for Boston. I never said I wouldn't go to Boston, in those words, you know. So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, he should say that. Because that's where he's probably going to end up in July. So
And that's fair and right. And here's the one thing. New Orleans fired their GM, Del Demps. You know, their owner basically said they want somebody that's aggressive, that's going to do right. So, you know, Demps, we look at the fallout from the whole Anthony Davis disaster. Del Demps is the first guy to go as he gets fired down in New Orleans as GM. But he did right by the organization. And right now for the New Orleans Pelicans, as the management was ticked off that he left the arena early, rightfully so, could have been probably were bothered as well that he played the All-Star game. Whoever steps in as GM steps into not the most friendliest of positions and not the best of positions, but you have a piece and a commodity that wants to go that you know every other team in the NBA wants in Anthony Davis. So it's great that you did not make that trade with the Los Angeles Lakers, Taz, and maybe it ends up being Boston. You and Bi are both in agreement that that's where we put our shekels on, that he ends up with Danny Ainge and the Celtics. But every other team now is in the conversation, and that's good news for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yep. Yeah, now they could shop
around. You don't want to be limited.
Correct. Totally agree. Yeah, so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. The NBA is always great in the summertime, see where these moves are made, you know, who goes where, who does what, you know, and whose team gets a swift kick in the yam bag.
Come back. We got the three coming your way next. Three biggest storylines. Jason LaConfora is going to join us next hour as well. NFL insider for CBS Sports 2. It's a holiday Monday morning. It's Taz and the Moose with you. It's CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.